I just want to take a minute to talk about this. Some of you are familiar with My Hope. How many of you know what My Hope with Billy Graham is? If you've been here, you should know, okay? My Hope with Billy Graham is an outreach program designed for you to be able to reach out to your friends and neighbors. And so we always struggle with how do we do that. And one of the things My Hope says is have a party. Invite people over, and then they've got some DVDs. Matter of fact, when I got back from Catalyst this week, I had a mail thing in my mail with two DVDs in it from Billy Graham. And each DVD has two or three or four testimonies on it of people whose lives have been changed by the power of the gospel. And so they want you to share that with people. Just say, hey, let's have a party, but let me show you this DVD. It's really important to me. And you show the DVD, and then you tell your story. You say, listen, God invested in me. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And you tell your story. You don't have to take long about it. It doesn't have to be big and involved. And you don't have to go into all the dirty details. But you just say, hey, listen, we were wandering far from light and hope. And God showed us that light. Would you like to experience that light? And you just ask people. Now, some people are probably thinking, well, how do I invite people? How do I do that? How do I get people? Here's the way you can do it. We live in a generous community. Does everybody agree with that? We live in a generous community. We are a very generous church. I appreciate the generosity of our church. But I also know we live in a generous community. So when we got ready for Operation Christmas Child this year, I picked up 10 of these. Okay? Now this is an Operation Shoebox Party Pack. Okay? So if you want to know, have an excuse for inviting people over to your house to do this, what you do is you get your neighbors to say, hey, listen, we're trying to help kids around the world have a Christmas who never have a Christmas. Would you be willing to help with that? And I bet everybody would pretty much say, yeah, I'd be willing to help with that. Well, we're having a party. If you'll bring, and just figure out how many shoeboxes you want to do, if you'll bring 10 things for a little boy of so-and-so, you know, you can figure it out. It's all in here. It tells you how to do it. Okay? But you know, one of the ways we return the investment on what God has given for us is to give to others. And here's a way you can do it two ways. You can give to others by giving out shoeboxes, and you can give to others by sharing the good news of the gospel as you do that. Isn't that great? Two for one deal. Right? Doesn't get much better than that. When they say two for one for tires, I'm going, right? Okay? Now let me just ask you. I'm standing up here. I'm asking. Who's willing to throw a shoebox party this next month? This will be in November. Okay? Good, Sherry. I've got more of these. So, Sherry, it's in November. Okay? So I give you plenty of time. If anybody else wants to throw a shoebox party, you let me know. Okay? Because we've got plenty of them. All right. Now, he's talking about talents here, and I'm glad he uses the word talents. Talents in his day meant money. Talents for us means, like, you know, Lady Gaga or something. Except I'm not sure that's talent. Jared and Philip, that's talent. And that's especially talent devoted to God. But talent, and my guess, just looking at this, is that a talent was about 4 years' wages. Okay? So, now, if a silver talent, about 4 years' wages. I worked out some numbers later. I'll tell you about that. There's a church in England that has a plaque that says this. In the year 1653, when all things sacred throughout the land were either demolished or profaned, Sir Robert Shirley built this church. His singular praise is this: to have done the best of things at the worst of times. Now, imagine that. What a great epitaph. To have done the best of things at the worst of times. Have you looked around lately? Have you looked around lately? Let's see. The government shut down? It's probably not the best of things. So far, I don't think it's hurt much, but there's some people who are hurting now because the government shut down, right? Apparently the parties in Washington can't talk together. We're always seem to be getting embroiled in things overseas. There's poverty, there's need, there's drugs in the schools. People talk about, you know, employment's up, but then underemployment's way up too. So a lot of places that once were hiring full-time workers are now hiring part-time because they don't want to have to be forced to do things. And so there's a lot of struggles going on. Let me just ask, anybody in here struggling? You don't have to raise your hand, but just nod your head. Anybody in here struggling with anything? You know, we've had a lot of deaths in the community. There's always that hard thing. May God be gracious to us that He would write on our epitaphs that we did the best of things in the worst of times, that we were willing to stretch ourselves with God and trust God to do the right things at the right time. If those were the worst of times, what are you doing? If these are tough times, what are you doing? Are you doing the best of things in the worst of times? So if we're looking at how we're going to return His investment, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to hold all things in trust. Hold all things in trust. Now I want to be real careful that I make sure you understand. By all things, I mean everything and everybody. I mean everything and everybody. Anybody here have kids? Okay, some of you are experiencing this. Anybody experiencing a little bit of the empty nest? Your kids went to college this year? Yeah? That's what kids do. They grow up and they leave. And if they don't leave, that's when we really should have a problem. Some of us, you know, we get a little too attached and we're like, oh no, he's leaving. Right? That didn't happen to any of you, right? But that happens to us, right? But really, we want them to grow up. We want them to have their own life. We want them to leave the nest. And then, how many of you, if you're a kid, I hope you love your parents. Raise your hand if you love your parents. If you don't, raise your hands anyway, just so they won't know. Okay, so hopefully you love your parents, but here's one of the sad truths in life. Sometimes it happens the other way around, but usually it happens this way, that there's going to come a time when you're going to have to say goodbye to your parents. When they're going to breathe their last and you're going to have to say goodbye. You can't hold on to things. You can't hold on to people. The money in your bank account. Anybody have money in their bank account? If you do, come see me. I could use some. But have you noticed that the money in your bank account comes in and then it goes out? I always felt like my bank account's a bucket and it's got a hole in it. And the hole's bigger than the, you know, they got the big hole at the top. I think the hole at the bottom's just about as big as the hole at the top. Fortunately, I'm at that place where, thank you, Lord, that my month runs out before my money, but not by much. What about you? All things. Hold all things in trust. He says in Matthew 25:14, a man went on a journey, and he called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Every couple of years, she's over there. I can pick on her. No, I'm not going to pick on her. But every couple of years, Teresa and I go see a financial planner. Anybody ever seen a financial planner? Good for you. If you've gone to see a financial planner, it's a worthwhile thing to do. It is for me anyway, because here's one of the things. Let me just, can I confess? Am I allowed to confess? Is that okay? You won't hold it against me? Years ago, when I was at my first church, I was pastoring and going to school, and we were running out of money, so I started running a side business. I know some of you guys do that. And over time, I realized how much time and energy I was putting into that business. And it was like one day God took me to the woodshed. God ever take you to the woodshed? God took me to the woodshed and said, listen, your job isn't to worry about money. Your job is to worry about doing what I've called you to do, and that's preaching and teaching and being in the pulpit and doing all that kind of stuff and visiting and, you know, all that stuff that goes with being a pastor. And I said, okay, Lord. And now I'm going to tell you, this is a struggle I have every time. Anybody here an insomniac? Raise your hand if you're an insomniac. You're about sleepy now, right? Yeah, that's me. But explaining how much of a difficulty this is. Have you ever noticed that like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, these shows come on telling you how you can make $1 million if you'll just invest $20 with this guy? I am tempted every time. I am, but I don't do it. I had another pastor friend of mine, matter of fact, a guy that Teresa used to work with, who he said he realized he had a problem when every morning he used to get up and read his Bible, and every morning he got up and started reading the stock reports. He said he realized he had his priorities right. And those things have stunk into me. So, honestly, if you ask, I take care of the money, I take care of the finances, but as far as investing and stuff like that, I put it over there and I leave it alone. And every couple of years I go to a financial planner and say, you tell me what to do. Because if I start paying attention to that, I'm paying attention to things I shouldn't be paying attention to. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm so smart. I'm saying that because I know I'm so dumb. Because I know it's real easy for me to stay part. Anyway, so every couple of years we go and we lay out our finances, and basically our financial planner says, you're in trouble. And anyway, he just basically gives us suggestions for managing our money, where to put it, what to invest in, all those kind of things. And particularly, he talks over our goals, like, what do you want to happen 5, 10, 15 years from now? When do you want to retire? How much do you think you need to have? And then he offers advice on how to get from here to there. And every time we go back to him, he says, you're not as far along, but you're at least farther than you would have been. Because I'm lousy at this. We get advice to help us get where we want to go. The question to remember is that God has a direction that He wants us to go, and are we going there? Are we investing? Are we getting that kind of advice that helps us to move where God wants us to go? See, how do we hold all things in trust? Well, first of all, we've got to remember it's not ours, it's His. And so we need to do with it not what we want to do, we need to do with it what God wants us to do. Today, you're in this room investing about an hour in worship with us. And no matter what you do, you can never get that hour back. So I want to thank you for investing this hour with us. You can never get it back, nor can you recreate it. You say, well, I could come back tomorrow at 11. Well, if you come back tomorrow at 11, I'm going to tell you, I'm probably not going to be here. The lights aren't going to be on, and there won't be a crowd. We won't be singing worship music, so it'll be a little different. You could come back a week from now and say, well, that might be the same, but we'll be doing a different sermon. There'll be a different group of people here. In fact, this is how different it will be. If you came back tomorrow, if you came back tomorrow and all the rest of us gathered here, we'd think everything's the same. But in that time, the earth will have spun 24,000 miles, and even worse, the earth is spinning around the sun at 2,700 miles an hour. So the earth will be in a very different place. 27,000 miles an hour times 24, I don't know, however, 500,000 miles or something like that. So you might think you're coming back to the same place, but in space and time, you're in a different place. You might think, well, I'll come back next year. If I come back next year at exactly the right time, at exactly the right place, I'll be in the right place, right? Here, you want to hear the fun? See, not only is the earth spinning around the sun, but the sun's spinning around the galaxy. And the sun is spinning around the galaxy. I worked this out this morning. So if you wait until next year, you'll be 171 million miles away from where you're standing right now. Isn't that cool? You guys are flying. Right? Now think about this, and you might think, well, I'll wait for a galactic year, but the galactic year is 230 million years, so you're never going to be back in this place again, in the exact time, in the exact place. You can't go backwards. Everybody thinks you can go back and fix things. Anybody ever think you can go back and fix things? You can't. You can move forward, and if there's something you need to make right, you can do your best to make it right, but you can't ever go back and undo something you've already done. You can never go back and give what should have been given earlier. You always have to invest at the time when God calls you to invest. So I would encourage you, thank you for investing this moment in time that will never come again. And God will honor you for that. Tony Evans said, "None of what you think you own do you really own. All that you own really belongs to God. God has entrusted us with His property. What are we going to do with this? First of all, just remember our stuff isn't ours, right? Our stuff isn't ours. Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today." Understand, we're in a covenant relationship with God. We don't talk about that much. A covenant's a contract. We're in a contract with God. We say, I give my life to you. God says, I'll take care of you. That's pretty much it. We could go into more detail. That's a little bit, I know that's not theologically deep, Tony. I'm trying the best I can. I only got a couple minutes. Right? But that's pretty much the contract. We say, I give you my life. And He says, okay, I'm in charge. Trust me here. If you give me your life, I'll take care of it. Now, what that looks like may be very different than what you think it looks like. But here's what it looks like to God. It looks like God investing your life on your behalf and on the behalf of everyone else you run into and other people around the world. All right? The servants in our parable in Matthew, they knew the property and the money belonged to the master. They knew he had the rights, and they knew that he had given them great responsibility. Do you really believe this? Now, let me just ask you. Everybody close your eyes. Okay, I want you to look deep in your heart and deep in your soul. Do you really believe, deep in your heart, deep in your soul, that everything you have belongs to Him? Okay, you can open your eyes now. The only reason I had you do that, because that way I can say, wake up. But sometimes, when you step back, does everything I have really belong to God? Well, yeah, everything. It's the everything but, right? Everything but. Everything but. We have a lot of buts in our lives, don't we? To be good managers, to be good stewards, we need to recognize this one thing, that it all belongs to the Lord. Don't play the numbers game. You notice in the parable, one servant was given 5 talents, one servant was given 2, and one servant was given 1. You know what we do? We say, well, God gave Joe 5 talents and he only gave me 1. Well, listen, you're just as responsible for your 1 as Joe is for his 5. In fact, if I read the Bible correctly, those who have more are responsible for more. So don't play the numbers game. Don't worry about what other people have. Galatians 5:26. Don't let anyone become conceited, provoking and envying one another. 2 Corinthians 10. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. In other words, if you're just comparing yourself, if you're just looking too narrowly, you're getting the wrong idea. Listen, you want to know what you're responsible for? Everybody pay attention. Here's what you are responsible for before God. You're responsible for you and what's been given to you. I'm not responsible for what Jared does with his stuff. I'm responsible for what God gives to me. I'm responsible for my relationship with God. I'm responsible for the things that come into my realm. I'm responsible as a pastor for carrying out my ministry of the church. But here's what I found out a long time ago. I've never saved anybody. You all do that. You all do that when you work with God and God listens and the Spirit works and God reaches people. And sometimes I just get to be there and to go along for the ride. And what you're called to do is to be faithful with what God has given you. Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful? Don't play the numbers game. We're not all the same. I can't play the guitar or banjo like Jared. I can't handle a tractor like some of you guys can. I can't program a computer like some of you. I can preach a little. Occasionally I sing a little. But what God has given to me, He holds me accountable for. And what God has given you, He holds you accountable for. And they really can't compare it. Oh, by the way, here's that thing about the talents. Some people reckon that a talent is worth about 6,000 denarii. Denarii was a day's wages. So figure $10 an hour times 8 hours times $80. That would be $80 a day. Figure that times 6,000 equals about $500,000. So if you want to know how much the guy with $5 million, he got, you know, 5 talents, he got $500,000 times 5, $2.5 million. So we get a lot, right? But you know, our gifts aren't money. I'm glad he uses the word talents. Because then we can talk about other things and everybody goes, oh, he's just talking about talents. But we're talking about talents, we're talking about money, we're talking about gifts, we're talking about stuff, we're talking about people. Let me ask you a question. Some of you parents, all you parents, look up here at me for a minute. If your son or daughter said to you, God's called me to be a missionary in Africa. Not only in Africa, he's called me to be a missionary in a part of Africa where they're killing Christians right now. Matter of fact, he's called me to be a missionary in Somalia. He's called me to be a missionary where it's dangerous. But God's called me to be there. Now let me ask you something. As a parent, you okay with that? See, sometimes it sounds real easy to talk about this stuff. But it's harder when the rubber hits the road. Because at some point with your kids, with your family, with your stuff, you have to say, God, it belongs to you. He belongs to you. And if you're calling him there, keep him safe. And you know what? If you raise him right and he knows Jesus Christ, you know what? Even if you don't keep him safe, you're going to take him home. I know some of you are sitting here saying, boy, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. That's sort of a downer about missions, right? No, that's the glorious truth. As a matter of fact, 100 years ago, they used to call them the My mind just went blank. The coffin missionaries. Do you know what the coffin missionaries were? They packed all their belongings in a coffin because they were going overseas and they knew that a lot of them would die over there. And these weren't missionaries like who were 40 years old. These were missionaries who were just getting out of college, who had their whole life before them. And so instead of packing in a steamer trunk, they would pack in coffins. Now that's stewardship. That's stewardship. Number two, invest what God gives you. I'm going to finish up. The first point was the longest point. I'm going to be short here. Invest what God gives you. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work. So also the man with 2 talents, they put it to work. But the man who had received 1 talent, he dug a hole. Proverbs 10:16, the wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment. So here's the thing. I just want you to know, if you bury your talent, you're going to pay for it, because later on you're going to see what the servant who buried his talent, what happens to him. And if you want to understand what burying a talent, I think it's really simple. If you don't use your talent for God, then you're not investing for Him. There are a lot of great singers in the world. Last night I got home, we were tired. Teresa and I watched a movie, and then she went to bed, and I was flipping on the channels, and we get this channel. Anybody get Palladia or whatever it's called? It's the concert channel. And they had Lady Antebellum on there. Y'all like Lady Antebellum? Anybody like Lady Antebellum? So they had Lady Antebellum and Stevie Nicks. How many of you know who Stevie Nicks? I don't know how old you are. Cool. Some of you young people know who Stevie Nicks is. That's cool. Anyway, but Lady Antebellum was singing with Stevie Nicks, and I was watching this. And I just couldn't turn away from it, because I grew up with Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac and all that kind of stuff, and I really like some of Lady Antebellum stuff, so I was listening to these guys sing. And I noticed. Did anybody see that? Did you see it? Did you see how sad Stevie Nicks looks? She looks... I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but her eyes and her demeanor, she just looks... And she talked about all she gave up to have that life of fame and all that kind of stuff. And she just looks like it's wearing on her face, and she just looks so terribly sad. And I thought, you know, here's this woman with this beautiful voice and this wonderful gift, and what a difference God would have made if she'd have used her talents for Him. She dug a hole, and it climbed over, and she still has a beautiful voice. But when you hear her talk about the pain and the sorrow and the agony in her life, and she had nowhere to go with it, what a heartbreak. Invest what God gives you. L. Kraft, and I think it's Lewis Kraft, he was the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. He'd given about 25% of his income to Christian causes over the years. He said, "The only investment I ever made, which has paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money I have given to the Lord." We've got to invest what we've been given. Verse 16 says, "The man with the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work. The man with the 2 talents went and put his money to work." But the guy in verse 18, he dug a hole. Instead of finding a way to use what he had been given, he hid it. Antonio loved music. But as a boy, Antonio's voice was horrible. He had one of those horrible, scratchy, terrible voices. You've heard him, right? He's the guy who can scream, but he can't sing, right? And he wanted to be in the boys' choir, but they wouldn't let him be in the boys' choir. Then he took violin lessons, but he was so uncoordinated he couldn't play the violin. The neighbors begged his family to have him stop taking violin lessons. Antonio had one gift. He could carve. And so he started carving, and he was carving all the time. And one day he was apprenticed to a violin maker. And his whittling grew into the craft of skill of carving. And his hobby became his craft. And by the time he died, he left over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that read, "Antonio Stradivarius." See, I don't know what your gift is. And I don't know what the things you love are. But I know that if you're willing to be patient and use what God has given you, and pursue whatever God has given you to love, that you will leave a mark on this world if you will invest yourself in those things. God created you and made you to make a difference. Are you investing what you've been given, regardless of what it is or how much it is? Or have you buried your blessing and kept it hidden from others? Number three, be ready to give an accounting. The master's coming back. And you're going to have to answer that. That's what we read this earlier. You know, the master's going to come back, and you're going to have to go before him, and you're going to have to explain that to him. Hebrews 4:13, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." You have to give an account. God has been pouring into your life, into your bank book, into your talent book, into your family book. God has been pouring good things into this. All good gifts come from our Heavenly Father. And God has been pouring those good gifts into you. How have you invested them? Tony Evans said, when you lose sight of the return of the Master, when you lose sight of the fact that He's coming back, you lose sight that one day you will have a conversation with Him to talk about how you invested the resources put at your disposal. When you've lost sight of that, you've lost sight of everything that means anything at all. A lot of people have lost sight of that. A day of accounting is coming. None of us wants to be audited by the IRS, but we're all going to be audited by the Almighty. And He's going to look at you and say, what have you done with what I gave you? Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So hold all things in trust. Invest what God gives you. Be ready for an accounting and, praise God, receive your reward. One day, I hope that God calls you for an accounting. And when He gets done, He says exactly what He said to those other servants. Did you look at that? Look what He says. The Master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your Master's happiness. He says that twice in this passage. I think that means it's important. He wants to be able to look at you and to look at me on that day of accounting and say, come, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful in a few things. Come and receive many things. Enter into the joy. Anybody want to hear that? Man, I want to hear that. I long to hear that. Let's look at the difference between the two servants who served and the one who took a dive. The first two were determined to make a profit. The third was determined not to take a loss. The first two were willing to work hard and take risks. The third took no risks. The first two received the gift. The third refused the gift. The first two wanted to advance the master's domain. The third had no interest in whatever mattered to the master. The first two viewed the money as an opportunity. The third saw it as a problem. The first two allowed the master's gift to change their lives. The third refused to let the gift touch his life. The first two invested, the other one wasted. The first two saw a blessing, the third saw a burden. The first two knew the master, and the third guy had no clue. Verse 26, the master says, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked means evil, hurtful, malicious. When we don't use what God's given us for God's glory, then God says we're wicked. See, we're not only held responsible for what we do, we're sometimes held responsible for what we don't do. Man, I want to be, one day I want to be there when God says, well done, I appreciate your good work and your faithfulness. Since you've done so well, I'm going to give you even more authority and more things to be in charge of. And you've made me very happy. Let's celebrate together. Let's join together. Let's go to the marriage supper and rejoice in all that you've done and all that we've done together. What about you? Where are you invested today? You know, it's easy to talk about this. It's easy to talk about God's invested in you and you're going to invest in Him. Yay. Here's what it comes down to. Let's just take a week. You're here Sunday morning. That's an hour a week. Let me just ask you. I won't even count sleeping time. Okay, so we're gonna just throw sleeping time off the rack. Okay, it's just gone. So say you're awake 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. Just saying, right? All right. So that's what 70. How many is that, Tony? Are you good with math? 42. 112 hours. Is that right? About 112 hours in a week that you can work, right? Y'all okay with that? Is that a fair enough number? So are you giving a tithe of your time to God? Wow, that's a lot of time. Are you giving 10% to God? Are you giving 10% of your paycheck to God? Are you giving 10% of your talent to God? Just 10%. Now listen. Some people have said, you know, well, the Old Testament talks about tithing, right? They're right. The tithing's in the Old Testament, right? You know, the New Testament, I've read the New Testament. Y'all read the New Testament? You know what he says in the New Testament? Anybody want to guess? He says, give it all. So you can do Old Testament and just give 10%, or you can do New Testament and give it all. Either way, I'm good. But here's what I know God wants above anything. Listen, I'm just going to be real clear with you, okay? Plum Creek, we don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. God needs you. You're the one He invested in. And He invested in you because He knows you and loves you. And He doesn't want you to give because He needs it. He wants you to give because you need it. Because you need to learn what that means. You need to learn to become generous. Because it's good for you. You remember the Bible says, Jesus said, God did not make man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. God didn't create the tithe for... He didn't create the tithe for, you know, so that He could be, you know... He created it for us. For our good. For your good and for mine. Let's pray. Sometimes, Lord, I get to the end of a sermon and I don't know if I've ever made a point. But Lord, I know You listen and You know my heart. So Lord, I pray that everybody here would hear that the point is not how much they give or when they give or what. Lord, it's that they first of all give their lives to You and then let You figure out the rest. So that You help us to invest where we need to. That You help us to put our money where our mouth is, that You help us to put our talents in Your service, that You help us to remember that everything we have and everything we hold on to so closely, Lord, it belongs to You. But Lord, the thing that You want most of all is not our stuff, it's not our money, it's not our bank book. Lord, it's our hearts. And Lord, You want our whole heart. So Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't given their whole heart to You, may this be that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing?